Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Josie today, a returning guest who we've got back again for, this is your second time on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Amazing. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back on. And we are talking about a totally different topic today, but it's very exciting because I think everyone is going to really relate to this. But first of all, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me back on. My name's Josie. I'm a life coach and NLP master practitioner, and I work with mums to help them stop overeating and free up all the headspace that's taken up thinking about diets, whether they're on a diet or not, to be able to make more impact and do the things they actually want to do with their lives. I have two little girls of my own who are amazing. They are, you know, so incredible. And part of the reason that I do this is for them, because actually I want to help mums and just people in general be able to kind of free themselves from dieting and that kind of vicious cycle, because I've grown up in and out of diets and all of the things, like I'm sure so many people have, and I just don't want that for them. I want them to actually be able to think about stuff that's important to them and not how big they are or what their legs look like and all the rest of it that has just plagued so many people, I think, for their whole lives. So yeah, really passionate about it.
Amazing. Do you know what's weird is that I feel like this is a sign. You being on here today on this podcast is a sign to me, because I'm in a book club, and the book that we did for August was a book about overeating, and I deliberately didn't do it. I was like, I don't need to do that. I don't need to address that, because I feel like I was very much sweeping it under the rug. I was like, well, I'm going to do a different book. So I chose a different book in the book club to do that they'd done like a while ago. And then you're coming on here to talk about this, and I feel like this is all just one big old smack in the face to be like, you need to address this and sort your shit out, because I am a serial yo-yo dieter. And although I don't see it as a problem currently, I feel like it probably is, and I probably need to sort my shit out. So we're going to talk about this today. But could you tell us about your overeating and dieting journey?
Yeah. So I was always, as a child and early teen, I was always just that little bit overweight. I was never kind of massive, but I was always noticeably bigger than my friends. And it was definitely kind of a point of kind of, you know, something to pick on. And I definitely got comments from like the boys, and from certain family members would maybe say like, oh, should you be sitting on that, sort of, you know, kind of jokey comments, but enough to kind of plant a seed that I just never quite felt good in myself. And then that just kind of got worse and worse as people actually started dating, going into teenage years. And it, you know, it wasn't me doing the dating. I was always like the friend that came along with you, sort of thing. And then when I got to university and had kind of control of my budget and, you know, the kitchen and everything for the first time, it was like, right, I'm gonna change this now. I'm gonna go on a diet. I'm gonna look amazing. And obviously you've got a bit more time at university, so we went to the gym like twice a day, and I did lose weight. I did, right? And I got the smallest I've ever got, and it just wasn't enough. Like I got there and I was like, oh yeah, I've got down to this size. And I did it by not really eating very much, so it definitely wasn't like a healthy thing. But I think I'd convinced myself, because I was eating like clean foods and, you know, I was like this picture of health, because I wasn't really drinking that much, especially compared to others at uni. But I didn't feel good doing it. And it just, as soon as I went into work and was kind of, you know, faced with the hours that I was then working and being back home with family and doing kind of social things with them, I just put it all back on. Like, it never actually stayed off. It wasn't a sustainable change. And so I kind of yo-yoed since starting work, like it was up and down constantly. But the recurring theme through all of it was I never actually felt any better, no matter what size I was. And I actually, at one point, I ended up reading loads of books on like body positivity and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to really just embrace this. And I think because I deprived myself for so long, it wasn't just I'm going to embrace it and just feel good as I am. It was like, I'm going to embrace it and eat like brownies for breakfast, lunch and dinner. And, you know, it was like the complete opposite end of the scale, which also didn't make me feel good mentally or physically, because, you know, I was eating foods that didn't make my body feel very good. So I'd been both ends of the spectrum and neither were very good for me. And then obviously I had children and you've got all these like emotions and experiences. It was a pandemic. All of the stuff was happening. And I definitely, from everything I'd learned, food was just medicine. Like whether I needed some comfort, whether I needed a reward for getting through a really horrible breastfeed because I felt like my nipple was going to fall off, like anything, didn't matter what it was just food was available, and food was a way that, especially family that didn't know how to help me, that was how they could do it. They'd be like, you know, I can just go to the shop and get you some chocolate, would that help? Like, and at the time I was like, yeah, because I don't know any other way. Like, obviously so many of the support systems just weren't there at that time.
I've just realized that that's what my husband does to me when I'm like when I'm grumpy. He's like,
they're just like, I don't know,
get you some chocolate. Yeah. I just realized what he's doing to me now.
It's just such an easy way, like such an acceptable thing of like, you know, this equals you feeling better, so that's great, we'll just do it. And it's not wrong, like it's so normal. But I think actually I got to a point, especially because I've got two girls, I'm sure it's not that different with boys, but I think for me, like obviously being a woman, I see my daughters and I'm like, I just don't want them to grow up worrying about all this stuff and like looking back at their university experience and thinking, was that when I was on a diet, or was that when I, like, and that being the kind of, you know, deciding factor in it all. So yeah, it kind of went up and down and up and down. And then I got to the point last Christmas where I was like, I've had enough. I've had enough of my own excuses. I've had enough of all the shit that I'm telling myself. I don't like feeling physically, you know, not so great, but it wasn't about going on another diet. I was like, I've been on enough diets to know that I might feel good in 6 weeks' time, but you know, a month after that I'll be right back where I am now, and I can't be bothered. Like, I haven't got the headspace in amongst all the other stuff that as mums you have to focus on to really kind of put energy into dieting again. Because when I was coaching before I had my second, so when I came on and spoke to you before, I was coaching more on like finding time for yourself and, you know, having the energy to do things. And it was still for mums. And I think I realised all the mums that I was speaking to, one of their goals would always be, I want to lose weight. It was just a consistent theme for pretty much everybody. And I realised just how much of their time and energy was being consumed by this, like, need to lose weight. And I'm not anti-weight loss at all. Like, I think that's a perfectly valid goal. But I think it's just how you can go about it in a way that is sustainable and actually makes you happy, rather than feeling like you're punishing yourself into a certain size. So that's where I've just kind of shifted the focus a little bit. So it's still, the ultimate goal is to allow you to have more time, energy, confidence, all the things that mums want more of. But actually what's stopping them is being in this diet cycle and, you know, being good for a little while and then falling into the, you know, kids' biscuits when the kids have gone to bed because bedtime was a shit show and they've just like got, you know, got fed up of it. And actually just being able to kind of completely get rid of that and have all that headspace back to do what they want to do.
I love that. So much of what you're saying I'm relating to. I'm like, I ate a whole packet of fingers yesterday because bedtime was shit. So because I'm in that headspace of, I have now got to the point where I am so comfortable in the body that I've got that I'm doing the eating brownies for breakfast and shit like that, because I'm just like, I've gotten to the point where I'm so comfortable, but then actually I'm feeling like crap, like I'm getting ill all the time. I feel like sluggish, lethargic, really tired all the time, and I'm like, I really need to be healthy for health, not for weight, but I don't know how to do that anymore because of yo-yo dieting. Because as you know, we've spoken about it before, that I used to compete in fitness competitions, and they absolutely fuck your brain up. They mess your brain up completely and change how you think about food and how you think about your body. And as you were saying, I got down to 7 stone. I was teeny weeny and I still would not wear just a sports bra and leggings to the gym because I thought I was still fat. I mean, what is that? Like, so it's bizarre how our brains work, and how like both ends of the scale are kind of both wrong for your bodies and your minds, but you need to get this like happy medium, don't you?
Yeah. And that's the main thing that I talk about, is this happy medium idea of like, it's, you know, if weight loss is a goal, that's fine, but let's do that through like appropriate methods. Like, it's not just trying to get as small as possible, as quick as possible, cutting things out, restricting things, counting things, like all of those things, they work short term, but if you want to genuinely feel happy and healthy longer term, they just don't work, because they don't teach you, like, if I've looking at a piece of paper that's telling me what to eat, there's no correlation there with how much food my body actually wants to be eating. And you can't possibly want the exact same number of calories every day. Like, I know for a fact now, I'm a lot more intuitive with my own eating, I can tell when my period's about to start because I'm so much more hungry. And rather than being like, oh my god, I'm eating like a pig today, why can I not stop eating, but and like beating myself up, I'm like, oh well, it must be starting soon, let's just go with it and eat what I'm hungry for, because now I can actually tell what hunger is. I think for years I had no idea what hunger actually felt like, because it was like, well, at 8 o'clock I eat this, and then at 10 o'clock I eat this, and it was all done based on some external thing that had no idea how I felt or how much activity I was doing that day or anything else to do with me as an individual. And it took time to, I think people think that, you know, you can shift it straight away. It does take time to go through the process of like learning what hunger is, like for the first time, because for so many of us, we've not done it for such a long time, especially when you've done such extremes like the bikini competitions. Yeah. And it's, I think there's this fear that if you take away the rules or like the restriction and the counting, that you're just like sit in this pool of chocolate all day every day and never stop eating it. But actually, as you said, like, it doesn't feel good to be eating that kind of thing all the time. So actually your body will be telling you, if your diet has literally consisted of like fried food for a few days, which I went to see family at the weekend and it basically did for like the whole weekend, and I felt rubbish. Like, I didn't feel very good. And so because now I can listen to my body and I can understand what it's telling me, I don't need an external thing to say, oh, well, you've had this many calories, so you've got this many left. Like, I just knew I could really do with a piece of fruit, because, you know, we've had fish and chips, we've had fry up, we've had everything. And it was lovely. And, you know, food is to be enjoyed. It's a social experience. And that's a really good thing. It's not about missing out on social things, it's being able to join in with them, but without coming away thinking, I feel horrendous because I don't normally let myself have fish and chips, so I had a large because it was there, so I ate all of it even though I was already full. Like, that's what I would have done years ago, whereas at the weekend I was like, I'm not that hungry, so I'm going to get like the tiniest portion they do, and I'm going to enjoy it because I was with my grandma and that's just what we do with her. But it's, I didn't need to overeat it because I'm never restricted. If there's another day that I fancy it, I can have it. Like, there's no, you can eat it the weekend and you stop on the Monday and that's when you're good and that's when you're back on track and all of this stuff that is so like, it's damaging, because it makes you want it more. I think that's what people need to understand, is when you stop yourself from having things, you're actually making it harder for your body to process, because your brain's like, I can't have that, that means I want it more.
Yeah,
that's literally what your brain is doing.
Yeah. And I think it makes it harder in the long term as well, because I went through such a long period of restriction that now when I'm not, I mean, I'm not restricting now in normal life, but we just went to an all-inclusive holiday, and before I went, the thing that I was most excited about was being able to eat as much food as I could. And I was like, that's awful. Like, I'm so excited about eating all the food, which I did. On the first day, I had a fry up for breakfast, had like a burger for a mid-morning snack, had a massive lunch, like ice cream, massive dinner. And then by the next day, I was like, oh my God, that was way too much food. And the next morning, all I wanted was a piece of fruit. And then, like, throughout the next day, I just wanted, like, salad kind of stuff and all of that, because I'd just, like, overdone it, because my brain wanted all this food because of past restriction and all of that. But my belly was like, no. And I had the most horrendous heartburn that night. Like, it was awful.
And I think people assume that if something's nice, like, you need to eat all of it. But actually, there are ways, like tools and the tips and things that you can do, that you could have a plate of like your favorite food, but actually your senses change whether you're hungry or not. So if you're starving hungry, you will smell food a lot more than when you're full up. So like if you're really, really hungry, like I love a roast dinner. If I'm starving and I go to my mum's house and she's cooking a roast dinner, it's like the best smell I've ever smelled. But when I'm full and I can smell because we're still in the house, like it just doesn't smell as nice. And there are things that you can kind of do to, if you can't sense like what your tummy's telling you because of years of dieting, there's so many other things you can look out for that help you see whether or not you're actually hungry. And the fact is, if you're already quite full and you're still eating your favorite foods, it's just not going to be as enjoyable. Like we enjoy food when we're hungry and when we actually need to eat it. So if you allow yourself, it's mainly slowing down. Like so many people just eat really, really quickly. But if you can actually slow down, you get to enjoy the experience so much more. So you don't need to eat a full plate because you've had, say, half a plate or two thirds or whatever it is. And you've had so much enjoyment from it that you don't need to finish it because you've had all the benefits of eating that food.
Yeah.
I think we're just, there's that whole idea of, you know, finishing your plate and not leaving anything because there's starving kids and you know all the stuff that a lot of us heard when we were younger. It's just retraining your brain out of it.
I think my brain is so drilled into that mindset, because even listening to you there, I was like, but if you really enjoyed something, why would you not want to finish it? Like I was like, why would you not want to finish something if it was really tasty, even if you were full? Because I'm still so in that like mindset of like restriction and like enjoying food. And I was having this conversation with my friend earlier actually, that like a lot of occasions are about food. Like you have something to celebrate, you go out for dinner, you have a birthday party. Like in our family, on everyone's birthday we go around my mother-in-law's for a Chinese and birthday cake, and every occasion is about food. And it becomes really difficult then to like not eat the food, if that makes sense, because you want to participate in these things, you want to like enjoy the food. And it's, I think there's such a fine line between the two, isn't there?
Yeah, and ultimately food is like love. It's such a love language between family members and friends. Like
food is my love language.
Like my grandma bought cheesecake at the weekend and she's like, I bought you a cheesecake, come on, eat. And she was genuinely wanting me to eat the whole thing, and I was like,
oh my god, that would make me sick.
Like I was like, I can't do it. And she was like, oh, you know, I got it. And it's, you know, it is a love language. They're trying to communicate something to you, and especially when you've got like family events around food, like it's so normal. And I think to me that's why it was even more important to do this work, because when I was on diets and I was going to these things, it was like, right, I'd look at the menu before, work out how many calories was in the thing, and work out which option to choose that was going to be the least damaging. And then you'd get there and everyone else would have like the food they actually wanted to eat because they'd have just ordered it. And I'm there ordering what I think is the healthy option, thinking, well, this tastes like crap compared to what they've got. That looks really good. And you just go away feeling so unsatisfied by what you've just eaten, because you didn't choose it out of what you genuinely wanted to eat. You chose it because it was the diet option.
Yeah.
Whereas when you do this and when you're able to stop when you've had enough, you can eat whatever you like. There's no, I need to pick the low calorie option. It's like, right, we're having a Chinese. What's my favorite Chinese food? And you just order that. But you just don't need to finish the whole thing, because you know that it's not going to be unavailable again tomorrow. Like if there's some left, you can put it in the fridge, or, you know, you can order it next time. There's no like, it's only today I'm allowed it, so I need to eat all of it. Because I think that's where so many people struggle.
Our brains are in like survival mode as well, because we still very much have that primal brain of our ancestors, where they think that the meal they're eating might be their last meal for a little while. So we very much flick back into that mindset of like, I must eat it all because I might not eat for another week or something. But actually that doesn't exist in our lives anymore. Well, for this kind of location anyway, it does in obviously other countries, but for us it doesn't exist because we can eat whenever we want. But we still have that built into, ingrained in our brains. And I think a lot of that primal brain is so hard to overcome. So it does make it very difficult. But at what time did you kind of realize that you needed to make a change?
So I think becoming a mum, I was really conscious of it. But obviously the early days, there's so much going on. Like, you're trying to navigate everything and work out who on earth you are, and there's like bits falling off you, and you just like, it was like a conscious thought in the background, but it wasn't really until I'd say like last Christmas that, you know, I had a 2.5-year-old, a 9-month-old, and I was like, all right, this is just enough. Like, over Christmas, my other half was ill and was basically in bed the whole Christmas, and so it just wasn't the Christmas we had planned, and I basically survived it by eating all of the Christmas food that was available. And I felt horrendous. Like, I've never felt so unwell physically and mentally, really, in my whole life, because I just, every time I do it, I'd feel worse physically. And then I'd be like, oh, for God's sake, why have you done that again? You're such an idiot. Why have you eaten all that food? You knew you went hungry. We did this yesterday. And it was all of that chatter on top of actually trying to look after my two kids, because my other half was in bed, that I just was like, this cannot carry on. Like, I think last year I kind of used the excuse of, just had a baby, we moved house, like all this stuff was happening. And I was like, I haven't got any excuses anymore. I can't keep saying,
I'm still using the excuse of, like, I've just had a baby. He's 2.5. Oh dear, oopsie.
Well, I think because my eldest is just getting so much more conscious of stuff, I was like, I really can't have her picking up on like things that I'm saying or things that I'm doing. Like, I wanted to give myself the space and the time to work it out before she was old enough to really sense. And like, I feel really proud now, because she'll now say, oh, mummy, I feel a bit like angry today. Can I go and do some yoga? Or like, I've got loads of energy. Can we do some exercise? And it's all about getting stronger and feeling good. Like, there's no, I'm a fatty bum bum, I need to go and do some exercise. Like, none of that stuff. And that's the thing that I was really conscious of. Some, like, saying it, but also in kind of my actions. I didn't want to be constantly like, here's your dinner and I've made something different for me. I didn't want her thinking, why has mum always got like salad for dinner rather than what we've all got? Like, I wanted food to be an enjoyable family experience, but one that could serve my own health goals as well as be positive for us as a family. So I think it was just being so aware that she was getting older, and I really wanted to kind of sort it out. And I just couldn't be like, I had so much in my head that, you know, all the general mum stuff that you have to think about all the time. I was like, I just don't have space for all the diet stuff as well. Like, it takes up so much room in your head, and I just couldn't be bothered with it anymore. That was the kickstart, really.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I had a coach recently, and she was brilliant. Gave me a great plan and everything, and all the workouts and stuff, but I just couldn't fit that in. I didn't have enough bandwidth for it. I have too much other stuff going on. And I was like, look, I'm really sorry, but this isn't going to work. Like, I just can't be preparing separate meals for me and like and the kids, and I can't be preparing breakfasts at, like, cooked breakfasts at 5 o'clock in the morning before I go to work. I just need to be able to grab a piece of fruit and go. And that's kind of how it ended, really. So the idea that you can still be healthy, you know, but without having all of the prep and all of that stuff as well, is really good. But I just think it's so hard, all of this stuff as well, when you've got so many built in beliefs that have come from childhood, because our family as well was very much like a, you finish your meal or you can't get down from the table till you finish your meal kind of thing. And my mum was a chef, or still is a chef, and does the most amazing food, but the biggest portions ever. Yeah. So that's very much come down to me as well. And yeah, food is our family's love language as well. As we speak, I have a blackberry and apple crumble in the oven because my mum made one today and gave it to us. And I was like, oh, let's pop that in the oven. So I'm like, as you're talking to me, I'm conscious of the fact that my oven's on over there with a crumble, with a crumble in it for me to eat afterwards. So, so it is very, very hard to get out of these like things that are quite generational as well.
Yeah, big time. And I think part of it is not feeling the need to criticise it. It's not wrong. Like, it was so common in that generation. That was just, that's what they thought was the right thing to do. And I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. I think there are negatives that have come out of it, which a lot of our generation has found as we've like grown up and developed all these beliefs. And I think it's not, it's not seeing them as a problem. It's just being able to unpick them and work out where they've come from. And actually, if now you've got this like impulse, you have to finish your plate, it's just questioning that and being like, where does that actually come from? What's the worst thing that's going to happen if I leave some food on my plate? And just start to up your awareness of it. Like, it's not about saying anything's wrong or anything's broken. It's just being curious as to where all these things have come from. Work out maybe the memories that you've got from childhood that are kind of leading to certain things, and just working out what the links are. So you've got various triggers for overeating. It could be tiredness, it could be comfort, it could be boredom, it could be like, there's quite a few things it could be, and you know, people might experience all of them or just one of them. But it's just understanding for you what that thing is, and then being able to say, okay, well, maybe next time I realize I'm feeling this, what could I do instead? And like, advance planning before the time, like, okay, well, next time I feel a bit bored, here's a list of things that I could do instead. Like, the kids have gone to bed, you can't go out because the kids are asleep in the house, but rather than just going to grab a pack of crisps, like, what could I do instead that would actually make me feel good? And it's not about kind of being prescriptive and saying everyone should do the same thing, because not everyone's going to go and, you know, do some yoga and feel good about it. It's got to be personal to you. But it's just,
that'd be my worst nightmare.
Well, exactly.
Probably, like, break my hip or something.
Exactly. And it's so, there isn't like a one size fits all, but for everyone there'll be some kind of alternative that, you know, that food is serving some kind of need. You're not hungry for the food, but you're hungry for something, like whether it's a bit of excitement, a bit of like passion, and so you want a bit of chocolate because it's just, you know, it's more exciting than sitting on the sofa by yourself. Like, it's just working out what it is, and once you know that, you can choose to do something about it. You don't have to, but I think there's something
I
really powerful.
What my blackberry crumble is.
But also,
what do I want from this blackberry crumble?
But also,
I don't know what it is.
Sometimes food is just really delicious. Like, I think it's very easy to say.
My mum's a cracking cook, and I just want that blackberry crumble.
Yeah, but sometimes you can
say, be eating now, like, what I know. Are you? And what do I really want while I eat?
What
you?
Am I hungry for? Because I think there's a, you could say, like, you can only eat when you're hungry and you have to stop when you're full. And I think that's, it's fine, but it's quite oversimplified, because food is there for enjoyment and for social and all these things. So I always say, like, if, say you go to, say, your mum's house, right, and she makes something that no one else could possibly make that well, like, say she makes these brownies and they're like the best thing you ever tasted, you can't replicate those yourself at home because you can't make them as well as she does, and no one else makes them that good. So there's almost a sense of like deprivation there, because you're like, well, I can only get these at mum's house and she's just made them. So it's not about saying, no, I'm not hungry, so I can't eat them, because that in itself is like a deprivation thing. Because if your mind would really like them because you know how good they taste, then, you know, saying no because you're like, no, I'm not a 2 out of 10 on the hunger scale, so I must like refrain from eating.
But you can take one home with you.
Well,
and
this
put
is
it in
it.
The microwave to warm up.
You then make a decision. You're like, well, do I want to feel a bit past full Like, would I enjoy it as much?
Yeah.
Do I take one home? Mm. Do I just have like a tiny sliver just so that I've had the taste of it, mm. but I don't need to eat? Like, it doesn't matter. It's up to you what decision you make, but it's just knowing that it's a decision that you get to make. Yeah. I think so many people feel yeah. like food controls them. They're like, oh no, I can't be mm. trusted. I can't have chocolate in the house because I can't be trusted, or I can't control mm. myself. If I open the biscuits, I can't just have one. I've got to have the whole pack. Like, all of that stuff. I'm like,
mm.
You get to make a choice, but you only get to make a choice mm. when you understand that you are making a choice. And
yeah,
so you know, you can sit down and be like, okay, well, do I want the brownie? No, not really, but I know it's going to taste mm. really good. Okay, I'll take it home. Like, yeah. it's just making a different yeah. choice, but knowing that you mm. are able to do that. It's not food controlling you. So it's just taking a step mm. back and working yeah. out, like, where are you at and what actually are you going to get from it? Is it actually going to make you feel that good? Because the worst thing is you've got something that you know tastes nice, but you're so full that actually you just end up mm. feeling horrendous after you've eaten it, because you're like yeah. full on food yeah. coma by that point.
I just remember once going to a Chinese all you can eat buffet with my ex-boyfriend and having like 7 plates, and by about the 4th plate
yeah.
I was full, but I wanted more food yeah. and I ate and ate and ate until I felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't move, had to undo the top button of my jeans.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did I eat all of that? Yeah. Like, it's so bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. That you'd put yourself into physical pain
yeah.
just to eat more food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's where it's important to just be like, okay, what was I actually getting from that? Like, I think for a lot of yeah. people, it's the idea of, you've paid for something and you don't want to waste it. And this is where mm. all you can eat's a bit risky, because it's like, well, you literally yeah. could eat until you made yourself physically sick, because that food is just there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just,
this is
again,
literally
it's
what my husband did on holiday. Yeah. Because yeah, it was all inclusive.
Yeah.
So he, on the last day, our bus was picking us up at 3:05 in the afternoon. And at 2:40, he was like, we put all the bags in the lobby and everything. And he was like, right, I'm off to the snack bar. I was like, why? We've literally just eaten lunch. And he was like, I've got to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
So he literally went and got like 3 yeah. burgers. And I was
yeah.
like, are you even hungry? No, but I've paid for it. So yeah. I was like, okay, whatever. But it's very much that, like, the all you can eat thing is like, you've paid for it. So yeah, but he didn't even pay for it. It was gifted, the cheeky yeah. sod. So what's he talking about?
But I think this is the thing, right? Like, if someone's fine with that and they don't want to change it, then that is absolutely not a problem. Mm. But for someone that's saying to me, like, yeah. I want to lose some weight, or I want to get healthy and I want to stop overeating because it's just mm. pissing me off that I can't stop doing it, these are the sort of mm. beliefs that you've got to bring to the surface and unpick, because you're like, you know, does it make any difference if you're at an all you can eat mm. and you've had 4 plates versus 7? Like, mm. those are the things that I think when we look at and take a step back, we're like, that does sound a bit silly, especially if I was like having to undo my jeans and feel like I was like exploding because I had so much food in my stomach.
Yeah.
And it's just starting yeah. to look at those things and be like, is that logical? Is that, you know, do I need to just work on that and like change that belief around a little bit so that actually I get to make more positive choices? Because this is the other thing with diets, right? Is they go, okay, you need to eat this and exercise this much, and drink this much water. All of those things are behavior focused, but it doesn't do anything to look at your beliefs and like how you feel about yourself. So if you relate to being like, if you're someone that says, I'm just a fat person, and someone says to you, okay, we'll just wake up at 5 to make this 300 calorie breakfast and drink 2 liters of water. If you're still saying to yourself, well, I'm just a fat person, then you're not going to do the behaviors that would take you to being a different size, because it just doesn't compute internally. And that's why this stuff's so much more important, because you actually deal with the kind of beliefs and how you feel about yourself. Because if you start changing that, I'm just a fat person, into actually, you know, I'm someone that really prioritizes my health, and it's really important to me that I make time for nourishing foods, then you're way more likely to actually do the stuff that you need to do to get there. Like, there's a massive conflict if you're feeling one way about yourself but actually expecting to do habits that are completely different.
Yeah. And I guess that's why people end up yo-yo dieting, isn't it? Because they do the the stuff, like the diet stuff,
yeah,
but their brain doesn't change. So then they go back and then they start again and then they go back. And yeah, it's just like this constant cycle of trying to diet, but never actually like getting to the root,
yeah,
of what's causing this in the first place.
Yeah, because they use willpower, which lasts for a certain amount of time until it runs out or yeah, something happens in life and that diverts your energy. Mm. And it just, yeah, you then go back to square one. It's not a sustainable thing. Like, I had a conversation yesterday, yeah, with some mum friends, and we were talking about people that they knew that had had some kind of like gastric band or any of those kind of operations. Mm. And all of them were like, yeah, this person lost 10 stone. And then a few months later, it was all back on. And it was like all these stories of, you know, they had the success in theory, but... Yeah. Or a lot of them, it was like, oh, well, they just worked out the cheats to it. So there's certain ones where you just had to eat certain foods that kind of dissolved so that it didn't register as fullness. So they were like, well, I just lived on like skips because they dissolved. So they went through the band, no problem. And you're like, well, that's not the point, is it?
Yeah.
Like, if you genuinely want to get healthy, those things just aren't helping if all you do is find a way to get around the thing that's trying to help you get healthy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just quite sad,
isn't it? Yeah. What pisses me off the most though is before I competed, I was this person who enjoyed salads and you know, would eat till I was hungry and was kind of like not a yo-yo dieter. I was a static size 10 and that was my body type, that was what I was, and I enjoyed working out and I enjoyed food, but didn't have this like mindset before, and like competing has just messed that up.
Yeah,
and that's really hard to stomach, is that had I just not done that, I would not be in this like yo-yo dieting cycle, which is really frustrating. And I know other people will have gone through similar, through not competing, but through just dieting themselves.
Yeah, and I think that like mentality you talk about, like that primal survival instinct of like, right, I've got food, so I must finish it. That is dieting. Like, I think when you look at, when I look at like my grandparents, they don't really do that. They eat and then they stop. Mm. Like, it just isn't really a thing. Yeah. But I think it's funny that when you look at the time in history when diets generally got introduced, that's when people started having problems because their mindset shifted from, am I hungry, to like, is this on the diet plan? And all of a sudden things are restricted and they can't have them at certain times of day or because it's over a particular limit. And all of a sudden it becomes a, like when you do have it in front of you, when you're at a buffet or a family thing or out for dinner, it's like, well, I need to eat all of it because I'm not going to get it tomorrow. Like, this is a special thing. It's a treat. I'm cheating today, so I'm going to eat all of it rather than, you know, it just being part of your everyday. Because actually when you can get to that point, as you say, you would enjoy the salads. It's not that you wouldn't eat ice creams and crisps and chocolate and all the rest of it, but actually your body wouldn't crave it as much because your body knows it's not as nourishing. It tastes good.
No.
But it's not doing the same for you as like a nice hearty salad. And your body would know the kind of ratios that work for you in terms of how much of each you want to eat. But all of that is so completely skewed now that it's really hard to get back to that place. You can do, but it does take...
I will get back there.
You will. You will. You have to step away from the diet feel of things because...
The diet life. Yeah. I know. I just remember, like, if I scroll back on my Instagram, I've posted pictures of, like, chia bowls and, like, these salads, and the caption is like, oh my god, this is so tasty, and I'm like,
that was Megan.
Like, and I was like, but no, I genuinely did think it was tasty back then, and like I lived on that kind of stuff thinking that it was like, it was nice, and I didn't crave chocolate, I didn't crave like McDonald's and stuff like that, whereas now I always crave the crap because that's just what my body's used to. So yeah, I need to get back to little old 2015 me that enjoyed chia seed bowls.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever really can't say I've ever really got into that. I mean, from a meal prep side, I used to be really into meal prepping, and like I used to do a lot of food like recipes and stuff, and it was always my fridge at the start of the week was rammed full of Tupperware pots. And it wasn't from a like a, you know, competing perspective, it was just having everything there. It was a convenience thing because I was working in corporate at the time. but it was restrictive in the sense that I'd get home and that would be my dinner. I'd have no flexibility over, oh, what if I fancy something different? And ultimately, food is meant to be pleasurable and enjoyable. And if you're not eating the thing that you really want to eat, then you're not getting that sense of satisfaction, which is when you're way more likely to need something else, because you've not, you know, hit the spot with whatever you've eaten the first time. And this is why for so many people, they might fancy a snack and they're like, oh, okay, well, I'm being good, so I'm going to have this. And then it doesn't make them feel any better. So they have something else and then something else. Yeah. And they end up like five snacks deep before they're like, why didn't I just eat the bag of crisps that I wanted in the first place? Like, you may as well mentally and physically just go, well, why don't I just eat the thing that I want to eat? Make sure I enjoy it and then move on from it, rather than eating all these things that I think I should eat instead, and then, you know, finally eat the crisps and then feel rubbish because you've eaten them, because you shouldn't have had them because they're a bad food. Like, it's just, it's exhausting. And as I say, ultimately, I want mums to have more time and energy. And I don't think either of those things happen when you're constantly thinking about diets and all of the rest of it.
Definitely. Amazing. So on that note, could you tell us kind of what you offer to mums and where we can find you?
Yeah, so I'm at Bloomin' Motherful pretty much everywhere. So the main thing is I have a free ebook that I would absolutely love everyone to download, and it's the 5 reasons that you're overeating and how to stop the easy way. So for someone that's just starting out and they're like, I just can't stop and I've no idea why, it's definitely the place to go. I have a one-to-one program that takes you through exactly what I did, and it's honestly been like the best thing I've ever done. So definitely, if someone's kind of related to what we've talked about, it's definitely worth exploring that. And I have a challenge coming up soon all around kind of boredom eating and how to overcome that, especially in the evenings, and how to just feel a bit more joy and kind of kickstart that transformation. I think it just feels really hard to get over that first hurdle, doesn't it? So having that little push just in a 1-week challenge, I think will make all the difference to get people on the right track moving forward.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming back on again. It's been lovely chatting to you again. I'm sure we'll get you back again another time.
Yeah, another couple of years, I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. Right, I will speak to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.